the surprise. I don't know what to say. Why are you all so quiet? Make some noise. It's Valentine's Day. It's my 50th birthday. It's Chinese New Year that's coming up. Woohoo! That's why I'm in red. I only wear this for Christmas. But then I said, why not? Every Valentine's, I should wear this. Why not, right? Hello, family. How are we? Good. I'm so happy to see all of you. And we have new faces here. Welcome. Welcome. Thank you for celebrating my 50th today. Today is all about not me. It's about Jesus today. But I'm so, so grateful that my birthday falls on the day that I can preach the gospel, that I can tell people of who my God is and can tell people of His goodness and how great He is. Amen. Wasn't the worship great? It was wonderful. Yes, come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, my dearest niece and the team. It's pretty awesome to worship God. And I pray that we grow like that in worshiping the Lord Jesus, especially this year for 2026, that I pray that our hearts will grow deeper, will grow hungrier, will go, you know, just going back to basics of the foundation of our faith. And this is what the Lord has told me for this year, for us as a church, that we go back to basics. Hello, Francis. Sorry I missed your call. It's okay. It's all right. We're family. This is how we talk to each other. Maybe I do have ADHD because I'm easily distracted. But you know what? It's okay. Going back to basics, to the foundation of our faith. And the very first place to start that is actually, do you know where? I asked this question last week. If you all were here last week, you would answer, where is the first place and the best place to start? It's actually our heart. That's right. And for the last few weeks, we've been talking about the heart. Not about behavior, not about performance, not doing more for God, but the heart. Because in Proverbs 4:23, it says that above all else, guard your heart with all diligence, for everything you do flows from it. That means your conversations. That means even the offense that you have taken. Remember, you don't give offense, you take offense. Even your fears, your comparisons, your intimacy with Jesus. Everything flows out from one place, not here, not this body, here. Your heart. So the first week, we spoke about returning back to your first love. We looked at Revelation 2, and we were looking at a church in Ephesus. That church was pretty amazing. You know, they were serving, they were persevering, they were doing good works, they were standing strong on their faith, they never grew weary. But then yet Jesus actually said, you have left your first love. They didn't leave church. They didn't leave theology. They didn't leave serving. They left their intimacy with Christ. So friends, we can be really busy with God, right? Busy doing things for God. And also drift from that closeness with God. Scary, huh? But how beautiful is Jesus? He didn't come to shame us. He didn't come to shame them. In fact, He invited them back. And what did He say? He said, remember, repent and return. What did He say? Remember, what are you to remember? Remember where you've come from. Remember how high you have fallen. And He said, repent. Because you were so, not because you were condemned that you remember things, because you were convicted of His love, of His goodness, that He died on the cross for you and for me. And that one part is that after you repent, He said, can you return? The verse, if you don't believe me, you can open the Bible. Now, I'm purposely not putting the full scripture up there so that you can open your Bible. So if you haven't opened your Bible for this year, this is a good time to open your Bible. Okay, nobody's laughing. Sorry. That was supposed to be a joke. But anyway, but you know what? It says, return to your first works. It didn't say first love. It said first works. You know what that first works is? The first commandment, we are told to what? To love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That is your first works. And if whatever we do, whether we're a wife, whether we're a husband, whether you are working, you know what? Let me tell you something. If you're not serving in the church, you're still serving outside in your workplace. That is bivocational. We're all working. Yeah? When we do things in church, it's actually, you're doing housekeeping. This is also your house, not just my house. This is God's house. So that's what we looked at, to love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, your soul, and all your strength. So the second week, what did we do? We learn about what enters your heart actually matters. We looked at Luke chapter 8. We learned about the parable of the sower. We talked about the seed is always good. And the word is always good. We even talked about the sower. The sower is always good. And the sower is always busy, you know, sharing his seed, sharing the word, sharing the good news. Why does he keep spreading the seed around? Why? Because he is a God of fruitfulness. He is so faithful. He keeps wanting to pass the word on. Hey, catch this word. Catch this word, Katarina. I didn't want to go. Yes, catch it. That's right. Catch it. And you know what? Because he wants to see you fruitful. He doesn't want you to be stuck. He doesn't want to see you still dwelling in your past. He doesn't want your trauma to hold you back. But he said, I have a reason. I have a way out. I have freedom for you. Would you take my word? So what enters your heart? But how do you know where your heart is? And it talks about the condition of our hearts, right? Which is the condition of the soil in this parable. And it talks about the hard soil, which is a distracted heart. And he talked about the rocky soil, which is the shallow roots, the thorny soil, a crowded heart, and the good soil, which is soft and surrendered heart. And you know, Jesus is inviting us to guard what enters our hearts. Because what enters your heart today shapes who you become tomorrow. And let me tell you why. Because you know why the heart? Because that's the place where he meets you. He wants to take out those weeds. He wants to pull out. He wants to heal that every part of your heart. He wants to do that. Because Jesus also said something very important in Luke 8, verse 12. He said that the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts. Notice that Jesus did not ignore the enemy. He didn't dramatize him, but he didn't dismiss him either. Because he said, this devil, he said, let me tell you, he is the accuser. He is, what else is he? Does anyone tell me? We learned this last week. He is a schemer. He's a schemer. He's a strategist. Because 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 actually says that, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. Where are the kids here? Roaring lion. Sorry, I tried to be. I'm not in Sunday school. I'm here with the adults, but there are kids here. Awesome. But Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says that we are not unaware of his schemes. So we cannot be oblivious to the work of the enemy. We cannot just go on living our lives and say, hey, everything's good. And some people don't even believe like the things of the spirit, right? They go like, oh, no, there's no evil spirit. Hello, there is evil in this world, my friends. There are evil in this world. So if there's evil, there's good. And if there's good, there's evil. So we can't be oblivious to that. Family, the enemy rarely attacks you loudly. It doesn't. He works very, very subtly. You know how he does it? He plants things in you. He plants small offense. He would whisper quietly all doubts within you. He will whisper insecurity and he say, hey, that wasn't great, man, what you did. Hey, look at what you're wearing today. You look like you're wearing pajamas. Someone told me I'm wearing my pajamas today. Thanks to Charlotte. A different Charlotte, by the way. Not my niece. And you know what even does? You know what else he plants? He plants, he starts comparing. Oh, why is that marriage better than mine? Why is that person making more money? Why is that person's house bigger than mine? I have nothing. Whoa, that church is way bigger. Oh, people are going more to that church than this church. You know, we start comparing. We compare all the time. Oh, my goodness, Josh Ho has a brand new big car. Wow, I wish I have it. We compare all the time. And you know what else? You know how the enemy comes in as well. He actually comes in with discouraging thoughts. He comes and discourages. He comes and deceives. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy your joy, your purpose, your calling in your life. And my friends, if you don't take that thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ, you know what would happen if you don't do that? You start agreeing with everything that is happening that the enemy is telling you. You know, he does not usually steal your faith in just one moment. He doesn't. You know what he does? He plants things alongside it. He has to come and say, I'm going to plant it. I'm going to lean. That's how the weeds grow. To come and choke you. And over time, the word gets choked. And that's why guarding your heart matters. Not out of fear, but out of awareness. Grace does not make us careless, but grace makes us discerning. So what we need to do, we need to stay focused on Jesus. We need to stay alert. Someone actually said, when is this warfare going to end? Sorry, my friends, I got news for you. It doesn't. Until you see Jesus face to face. Sorry, okay? If you're not knowing how to fight, come speak to some of the elders here, some of the leaders in the church. They'll teach you how to fight. But you're not fighting for victory. You are fighting from victory. So that's the way you learn how to fight. Amen? So we need to stay alert. Because when we are not aware of those subtle schemes of the devil, our hearts doesn't just get shallow. It doesn't get distracted only, not just crowded, but it gets divided. So what is a divided heart? Psalm 86, verse 11. The passage is not there. Lep, thank you. It says, Psalm 86, verse 11, it says, teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may, not fear your name, but fear your name. This is me when I do it very early in the morning. Lack of sleep today. Because a dear friend's son passed away and I had to attend a funeral at 1 a.m. in the morning. And what a privilege to be able to do that. So please excuse my typo. Fear your name. Fear your name. This is David's prayer to God. You know what it shows here? he had to pray this because he had a divided heart. His heart was not naturally undivided, as do all of us here. He loved God. He absolutely loved God. He fought. He did everything. But he also battled fear. There was temptation. There was distraction. There was ambition. There was insecurity that David faced. A divided heart does not mean you don't love God. It means other things are pulling at you. What pulls? What pulls your heart? Hurt pulls your heart. Offense pulls your heart. Fear pulls. Comparison. Everything that I've said before, I'm just wanting to reiterate this so you know that these things pulls. Loneliness pulls. Ministry expectations pull. The work at your workplace, promotion or whatever that you demand at work pulls. A divided heart is a pulled heart. Not pulled pork, okay? Pulled heart. No one laughed again. Jeez, all I'm thinking this in my head. It sounded great this morning. Funny, Lord, thank you. A divided heart is definitely not pulled pork. It is a pulled heart. Because what does that mean? It says something else is competing to be in that center. You know, what does that look like? Let me tell you. You say that, I love God. Ooh, but I also want to make sure this is done this way. I'm going to make sure that this follows me this way. That's control, my friends. And you can say, I trust God. But I also trust my own strategy. I know better. I know how to do things better. And you say, I worship God. You could be standing up here in front on stage worshiping, or down here worshiping God. But then you are ruled by fear. You can say, I serve God. But you are led by insecurity. You're pulled between faith and fear. You're pulled between calling and comfort. You're pulled between surrender and self-protection. Because we can be in church and still feel divided. And the danger here is not weakness. The danger here is pretending we're not divided. And that's where hardness begins. Why does this matter, friends? Because what sits at the center here directs everything. As we said in the beginning, above all else, guard your heart with all diligence. Because out of everything, everything from your heart will flow from it. Issues of life will flow from it. Because Jesus also said, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. If fear is central, decisions flow from fear. If offense is central, words flow from offense. If insecurity is central, then the way you lead in your relationships, in your friendships, it is from insecurity. But when Christ is central, can somebody say hallelujah? Do you know what you're saying hallelujah for? Because when Christ is central, shalom, peace, providence, provision, everything flows from your heart. Kindness, goodness, love will flow from your heart. Amen? Now you can say hallelujah. Because if you want Christ to be in that center, you got to say, Lord, I want that. I want Christ to be the center in my heart, not anything else. And you know, God is saying an undivided heart is not a perfect heart. It's not. It is a centered heart. That's all. Simple. Not perfect. Just centered. But can I show you something really beautiful? Because I showed you how our heart can be, we're so divided. So divided. Our hearts can be so evil. In fact, but I want to show you the person of who God is, of His undivided heart for us. I want us to look at Genesis 12. This is about the promise that God has given to Abraham. So anyone remember, any young kids here? Do you remember about the story of, maybe not young kids, all of us are young children here. Amen? Yes. Do you remember what what God said to Abraham? Okay, it's all in front there. Sorry. Oh, man. All right, forget it. Not working. let me say this. Okay, God called Abraham. Amen? He called him. And what did Abraham do? He obeyed. That's right, he obeyed. I'm giving you all some tips here, okay? All right? But then later, he doubted, right? He went to Egypt. He took Hagar. And then he tried to help God to fulfill God's promise, not his promise, God's promise. I'm going to try and help God here. And his heart wavered, divided between promise and pressure. That's Abraham's heart. But God's heart did not. Amen? How great is that? God's heart towards Abraham was undivided. What did God say? He kept on saying, I will, I will, I will. I will bless you. I will make you a nation. I will. That's who God is. The promise that God said that you will be a father of nations. And then I can imagine Abraham, you know, the pressure he would be thinking. He said, hey, but I'm pretty old. My wife Sarah is pretty barren. What are you talking about, God? You know, like, I'm childless. Hello, God, where are you? You know, and then the other promise, you know, he said, and God said, I will do it. And then what was the pressure that Abraham was feeling? He was saying, oh, maybe I misunderstood God. You know, we all get that way when we hear God. We try to reason where? Here. We try to make sense of things. And then you will even say, oh, maybe God needs help. Maybe I should do something about it. So what's happening here, my friends? It says reality is not matching here. What's going on? There is a gap here between what God has said and what we see. You know, we sing the song, He's a Miracle Worker. What's the song? How does it go? Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. But how many of us actually believe when we sing that song, or do we sing that song and we're hanging on, God, you are way maker, miracle worker. Oh my God, but how am I to fix this? What am I going to do? Oh my goodness, this is not working. My children is not following the Lord. Oh my goodness, something's wrong in this marriage. Oh God, my colleagues, they don't like me. Oh my God, 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 all the time. But then yet God says, He will. And then the pressure says, what if he doesn't? God's promise says to you, trust me, trust me. But then the pressure within you say, just fix it. Fix it. Go. Don't trust God anymore. Just fix it. And the promise that God will tell you and say, I am enough. You are enough. You are enough. But then someone will say to you, you're on your own, mate. No one's with you. Do I sound Aussie? I try. Getting there? Thanks, my brother. That's my brother-in-law. He can tease me. So that tension, that promise and pressure that creates a divided heart. Have we all gone through that? Yeah? Am I the only one with my hands up that have gone through this? Oh, yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Is that from Sesame Street? No, I don't know. Your heart can be divided, but let me tell you something beautiful about who our God is. And let me remind you that God never withdrew his promise. Never, ever withdrew his promise. God never said that, since you doubted me, since you have sinned, since you have done this wrong, that wrong, this happened to you, da-da-da, da-da-da, God never said, I'm done with you. He never, ever said that. How beautiful is he? I'm not done with you. And God reaffirmed that in Genesis 15, in Genesis 17, Genesis 18. My goodness, you got to read your word. If you are lacking of faith right now, if you don't know how much God loves you, read the book of Abraham, the book of Genesis again, the book of Abraham. All right, definitely not. But read Genesis. Read it again to remind you that he will never, ever leave you nor forsake you, that he is such a good, good father to you. And he will keep his word, and he will never let you. May walk out of here not faithfully with a divided heart, but he said, I will still pursue you, I will still run after you. That is who God is, that is who your Father and my Father in heaven is like. He will never ever let you down, he will never ever let you go. God remained faithful even when Abraham's faith was fluctuating. Even when Abraham's heart was divided, God's heart toward him was not. And that, my friends, if you have nothing that you receive from today, this is the good news. This is the good news of your Heavenly Father, that his heart towards you will never, ever waver. He will never, ever waver. He loves you unconditionally, and his promises are yes and yes. Amen. Amen? You know, the best part, right, when you're called to preach, and especially about the heart, do you know who gets challenges the most? Do you know that? Do you know who? Yes, it's me. Absolutely, it's me. I'm the one that gets challenged, and I tell you, I went through everything. Through return to the first love. Yeah, return to the first love. To what enters your heart matters. Man, I tell you, woo, I have been stretched. So I'm preaching here today because only for one reason and one reason only. Not because I have an undivided heart, because I have an undivided heart of the Father. And he absolutely adores you and loves you, and he wants to bless you. He wants to see you be fruitful. He wants to see this church really, really know how to show the grace of God to other people, to really, really be that mouthpiece wherever you go, to your families, to the schools where you are, wherever you go. He wants you to be that in your workplaces even. If you know how good he is, can I say that you will not shut your mouth? You actually won't. Because he's that good. How did I meet Katharina? I was through walking my dog, and Katharina's from Yanchep. She got conned to come here today. It is through the love of Jesus. We always keep sharing. And Megan, my dear friend, also from Yanchep. Can we ask both of them to stand up, please? I just want to honor them. They really took care of me when I was during concussion. Oh, and Annabelle. Of course, Annabelle. Yes, they helped me walk Wallace so much. Thank you. And they fed me too during the concussion. I really want to thank God for them. So today, my friends, I'm going to close. Wow, my sermon is going to finish. Woohoo! I'm not going to actually preach long. Yay. Can someone say yay? Can someone say like, oh my God, when is she going to cut short the sermon? I'm just going to give her half an hour next time. No, 25 minutes, 20 minutes. I said, it's all right. It's going to be a short one. Today, my friends, as I said earlier, I turned 50. Hey, even though you interrupted, we still got good timing. Well done. You know, I've realized something. An undivided heart isn't about having everything together. It's not. Remember what I said? It's not about having a perfect heart. It is actually about knowing where to return when you don't. It's about coming back to the center. Let Jesus be that center. It's coming back to Jesus again and again and again and again and again until you're completely being ripped open. And you say, Lord, I'm totally yours. Woo! I'm totally yours, God. No one can stop me because when Him and I are together, we're a majority. So what do we need to do today, church? We don't have to try harder. But we pray like the way David prayed. Give me an undivided heart. Can I invite you to stand, please? If you want to open your hands and receive from God, it's up to you. You want to put your hands on your heart, hand on your heart, you can. Whatever the Lord is prompting you to do. I don't want to tell you what to do. I'm just inviting you. Whatever the Holy Spirit is leading you to. If you can say this together, or you want to say this to Him and whisper to Him, heart to heart with Jesus. And if you can say, Lord, you can say after me. You cannot say after me. It's up to you, but I'm going to say it. Lord, unite my heart. Lord, unite my heart. Lord, where fear has taken space, unite my heart. Where disappointment has divided me, unite my heart, God. Where offense has hardened me, unite my heart, Lord Jesus. Where ambition has pulled me, either the love of money or the love of something, Lord, unite my heart to yours. Father, an undivided heart is not achieved. It is surrendered. And my friends, I want to bless you today that the safest place for a divided heart is in the hands of an undivided God. So Father, I thank you when you speak to us today, Lord, as the worship leads us in declaring who you are. Lord, you remind us who we are. Lord, you remind us the authority, Lord, that you have placed us in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We bless your holy name. And Lord, we say, give us that undivided heart. Teach me your way, O Lord, so I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart, O God, that I may fear your name. So I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.